Good morning. If turn me down just a little bit. Thank you. All right. Hey, if you're visiting with us this morning, just let me say a quick word. Most of us in here are family, but if you're visiting with us, wait another week and you'll get to hear good preaching, okay? And in 2 weeks, you'll get to hear better preaching. Not really, Ryan. What we have set out as a church family to do is to be centered around the gospel, not around a person. Last week, John did something that every pastor on the planet would have told him not to do. He told the congregation that he was not going to be here this morning and that he was not going to be preaching this week and next week because we really and truly feel like we are centered around God's Word and who Jesus Christ is, not around whoever stands up here teaching. So this morning, as I teach, as we open God's Word and learn together and study together, I pray that you don't see me because I'm ugly. So let's look at God's Word together. For those of you that have not been here for the last few weeks, maybe, possibly, let's recap what's been happening in the Word of God, where we're at. We've been in Luke now for a really long time, okay? Since last December, the end of December, we started with the Christmas story, and then we skipped a little bit, and we started back at chapter... Anyway, so we've been in here for several months, and we've gotten to the point... do y'all remember 2 weeks ago? Does anybody remember kind of what was happening? Transfiguration, yes. Where Jesus took three people. Who did he take with him up to the mountain? Peter, James, and John. Okay. We are in search of a Peter so that John and I can stand and say Peter, James, and John. So if any of you know of a Peter that we could disciple into the church, let us know, okay? We have not found one yet. But so Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain. He said, hey, stay here. I'm going to go and pray. What did they do? They fell asleep. And they woke up to this just magnificent event where Jesus was standing there and in all his glory was talking to Moses and Elijah and so having this conversation that was just out of this world. And those three disciples got to see Jesus for who he was. And in fact, when they got to the end, they said they could not talk about it. It was so just overwhelming, awesome, that they couldn't even talk about it. And then they came down the mountain, and what was taking place down the mountain? We can interact. We can talk a little bit. It's all right. Y'all remember what happened when... This was last week, so... What's that? There was a crowd, and there was a little bit of trouble going on. What's that? Yes, a demon-possessed man had his kid. And why was he still demon-possessed? Because the disciples couldn't do it. So they got to the point, they were like, well, we can't do it, so we'll just wait on Jesus. And Jesus basically, in two sentences, called them out very strongly. I mean, He, if you want to go back and read that, is very strong words from Jesus calling out his disciples. And he told them that, I'm not going to be with you forever, so you might want to get with the program. And then the second sentence, he basically says, look, get it through your thick head, okay? And the disciples still didn't understand, and which leads to today. So Jesus has, to this point, very strongly, pointedly, talk to his disciples, and then we get to the passage today, and I'm just going to reread the first couple of verses that Luke read for us. And it says, an argument started amongst them as to which one of them might be the greatest. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their hearts, took a child and stood him beside him and said to them, whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among you, this is the one who is greatest. See, we've seen the disciples have had ups and downs the past few verses, but this has to be one of the low points of being one of the apostles. This is a point where, I mean, Jesus just called you out in front of people, in front of a crowd, and in front of this group of people, said, "Look, you're wicked and perverted. What's going on here? And you couldn't do this because of your unbelief, because of your unfaithfulness, because of your lack of trust in me. You couldn't do this." And we get here, and they're still not getting it. Okay? I mean, they still haven't got it through their thick ears, as Jesus put in verse 45, or 44 rather. Let these words sink into your ears, is what he says. So we get to this point, and I want us to today, I'm not going to tell you how many points we're going to learn from the disciples, what we're going to learn from the disciples, because if I tell you how many, you're probably going to check out. So stay with me, okay? I'm not going to talk as long as John, okay? I don't have that many words in my vocabulary. I only know how to say things one way. That's just me, okay? I only know how to say things one way, and I'm going to say it because this is what the scriptures say, okay? So an argument rose up amongst the disciples, and we can see their pridefulness coming out in this. Because they're talking about who's the greatest. What is their focus? Who is their focus? It's themselves. I mean, it's not Jesus, that's for sure. It's not the things of God. They're talking about themselves. They're talking about me. Well, I'm the greatest. And we can see a few things from this, from Scripture, what has happened. Okay, so Peter, James, and John. I'm going to walk down here just because this is crazy. I don't like looking down on you. So Jesus took up three people, right? He took Peter, James, and John up to the top, and he left back the other nine. And the other nine couldn't handle the task that was put before them. So, I mean, there had to be some animosity there. I mean, why didn't Jesus take me? Why didn't I get to go up there? I mean, something happened up there. They're not even talking about it. They won't even say anything about it. You know, I mean, did they go and have a nice meal? Did they go and take a nap? I mean, what's going on? I mean, I'm greater than you. Well, why you? Why did you get to go? Why did Peter get to go? And we can tell, most likely, it wasn't like they were the oldest three in the group. John, who wrote the book of John, lived for decades several decades longer. He wrote the book of John in the late 90s, which is 60-something years after this event. So he lived for 60 years in a day where the average life expectancy was in the 40s. So, I mean, John was a young guy. So Jesus didn't pick out, like, the oldest three or even the youngest three. Peter was probably the most outspoken of the group. He was probably the oldest. We don't know the ages of all of them, but more than likely he was older. Jesus didn't pick based on any description. He didn't pick on, you know, whatever. He just, hey, Peter, James, and John, you're with me. And the other nine obviously had an issue with it. Obviously something was going on. And we start this argument, this conversation about who's the greatest. And so we can see that when our pride gets in the way, ill will comes out of it. I mean, people can see that you start having animosity and ill will toward others. When we start concentrating on ourselves, when we start thinking about me, when we start thinking about I, or even my little family group, if I start thinking about what's best for Allison and I, what's best for me and Adele and Ashlyn, who obviously doesn't care what I'm saying, what's best for us, then there can become ill will toward others. And we see that in the disciples' lives. But also, we can see personal preferences here. I love Ron. Where's Ron? Where did he go? Oh, see, He's a servant. They needed help. His family was the first one to speak up. So, hey, if you want to love on somebody, go love on Ryan and Deanne because they're cool people. I love Ryan. I love music. But if I had my way, this is not what we would sing. I mean, I would have electric guitars in here. I would ramp up just a little bit. That's my personal preference. That's me. I would like to, you know, turn up the volume a little bit. And it's probably a little bit loud whenever I set the soundboard just because that's just me. So if it's ever too loud in here, it's my fault. Okay? Don't blame anybody else but me. Okay? So that's my personal preference. The disciples had a personal preference too. They thought Jesus was fixing to set up his earthly kingdom. They thought that, hey, this is fixing to rock and roll. Jesus is talking about the end. He's talking about it's coming. It's here. It's fixing to happen. We're fixing to turn our eyes to overthrowing the powers that be, and we're fixing to do it. And they were vying for position in the kingdom. When we let our pride get in the way, ill will can come out of it, and we can let our personal preferences ruin our day. We can let our personal preferences put us on a track that is not where God intended us to be. God never intended for Jesus to come and set up this worldly power. God had other plans, and the disciples couldn't see it because of their focus on themselves. May we never come into this place with our personal preferences on our shoulders. You've never once heard me say anything about the music until this morning. I mean, I love it, and I sing, and I probably was shouting louder than anybody up here on the front. In fact, Ashlyn, when I was singing this morning, had to cover her ears because she was standing in front of me because it's bad. Okay, that's why I'm not up there singing. So personal preferences can never be a part of this, but there's also something else that we see in this scripture in the next couple of verses. John answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow along with us. But Jesus said to him, 'Do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you.'" Look, when we are concentrating on us so much, when we're concentrating on me, myself, and I too much, this idea of elitism can come out. And I can see this in the disciples' life. They were like, "That dude's not standing here with us. He's not in this circle. He can do something that I can't." I mean, just a few verses of scripture before, they couldn't cast out a demon. And this guy who is not with them is over there doing it. I mean, something that the disciples, God had empowered them to do. Jesus said, "Look, you have the power. I'm putting this power in you." And then because of their lack and of faith, they couldn't do it. This other guy over here using the name of Jesus and casting out demons. And, this church down the road is growing. They built a new building. They're not part of us. Why are they growing? Or whatever the case may be, I've seen, and we can learn from history, that entire denominations of people have been based on this idea of elitism. That if you're not with us, if you're not part of this little circle right here, then you're not in. You're out. And even to this day, there are thoughts even amongst us in this room that, you know, if you're not in this select group of people, then that's just wrong. I can't be with you. In fact, I heard a pastor, I will not name his name, but he talks about in heaven one day, he said, "These people may be here, but I'm going to stand on the other side of the crowd from them." Really? I'm like, he's like, those just aren't my people. And I can't get it, okay? The disciples obviously didn't get it. They are like, look, we've been through this. This guy's casting out demons. Hey, look, he's using your name, Jesus. We tried to stop him. The dude was on fire for Jesus, okay? And he didn't stop because the disciples told him to. And I pray that people don't stop using the name of Jesus because we don't agree with them. Ill will, personal preferences, elitism leads to a powerless life. The disciples had let their pride sink in so much that they got to the point that they couldn't cast out a demon and Jesus had to call them out. They got to the point that they were so powerless that Jesus withheld information. The one that John didn't get to it last week, but verse 45 says, but they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them so that they would not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this statement. Like, Jesus just called them out, and they were like a scolded child off in the corner. I'm not going to ask Daddy about that. Adele, you've never been that way about me, huh? Ashley, put your legs down. All right. You know, you got to be a daddy even when you're preaching. So the disciples had let their pride come in, and they had ill will, and they had their own personal agenda on display. They also had this idea that they were better than everybody else, and it led to a powerless life. It led to them not being able to accomplish what God had wanted to accomplish in them. Pride has a way also, their pride was very, very evident. So we can learn that from the disciples, obviously. But when we're in the middle of our pride, sometimes we let it lead our way and we never know the difference. So the pride was evident, and then pride leads our way. What is the center of your thoughts on a daily basis? I mean, just think about tomorrow will be Monday. I mean, we're sitting in here right now, and, you know, I know all of you are thinking about the roast that's in the oven or the pizza that's going to be cooked or something like that. And a handful of you are actually thinking about the disciples' life, what's going on. But, all right, let's all think about tomorrow. When we wake up in the morning, some of you might get to sleep in. Is it Columbus Day tomorrow? Yes, the bankers get to sleep in tomorrow. You know, the only people on the planet that get Columbus Day off. So Bonner will be thinking about dreams while the rest of us think about school and work. Go through your morning. I mean, what are you thinking about? What is taking up your thoughts? What is taking up your heart? What is taking up your talent? What is taking up your energy? What are you concerned about? What are you driving for? What are you striving for? What are you living for? And it is Monday, and so maybe we're trying not to work too hard. Maybe we're trying to make it through till Friday. maybe we're looking forward to community group on Monday nights. See, if you don't have a community group, you can come to the Monday night community group. You have something to look forward to on Mondays, okay? So that's my group. You can come to my group if you don't have anything looking forward to on Mondays, okay? But all of us, and we see it in the disciples' lives, is when pride comes in, many times we don't think about God until we have to, all right? Until we sit down at the dinner table and we're going to say a blessing. Or something comes up. Oh, I guess I need God now. Let's pray. Something happens, or a coworker says, oh, hey, would you pray for this? And then, oh, well, I guess I can think about God then. I mean, the disciples, obviously, their thoughts, their activity was about doing the task at hand. They were trying to get rid of a demonic. But their thoughts weren't on the man that was on top of the mountain praying. Their thoughts were not God's thoughts. Their way was not God's way. They if they had their way, if I had my way, we'd have something up here different. If the disciples would have had their way, Jesus would have rolled into Jerusalem, and from stepping there, all things would have ceased to happen, and he would have set up this kingdom. The Roman Empire would have been overthrown, and it would have been just one big, glorious gold temple erected, probably. I mean, and where 12 people were fighting to be the right-hand man of God. I mean, that's what the disciples were hoping for. They were vying for that position. That's what they thought was going to happen. May our pride never lead our direction as a church or an individual. May what we desire and what we want, may it never be a part of or get in the way of God's direction for His people and for His family, for his brother, for His sister. The truth is here, and if you're on Facebook and you follow us, you saw a quote similar to this last night. But the truth is, we can be in the midst of God's work, His plan, even His will, and still not get it. I mean, the disciples were all in the middle of God working, right? I mean, they saw Jesus do miracles. They saw Jesus cast out demons. They saw, three of them saw, I don't know what they saw, but it had to be cool. I mean, they saw a heavenly conversation happen. They saw Jesus do all these things, and yet they still didn't get it. They were right in the middle of what God was doing. I mean, God was bringing about our eternal salvation, and they still didn't get it. I mean, from the time that Jesus was born, it was leading to this point, and they were a part of it. All 12 of those guys were a part of it. They were in the middle of it. We have pages of talking about them and their work and what they were doing and in their lives. They were right in the middle of it, and they still didn't get it. Because we're sitting here this morning doesn't mean that you get it. Because we help out in the nursery, or because we wear a Jesus t-shirt, or because whatever, doesn't mean that we get it. Just because we're doing God's work doesn't mean that we get it. Disciples had Jesus point a finger right in their face and said, "Get it through your thick ears," and they still didn't get it. May we never let our pride lead our way. May we always look to our God for His direction and for His way. Because if we don't, here's what's going to happen. And we see it in this passage. So our way leads to complaints. We see in this passage that the disciples started out with, "Hey, there's this dude over here casting out demons. We tried to stop him." I mean, it was like almost that, you know, hey, we're talking about who's the greatest, and one of them spoke up and said, "Hey, I'm the greatest. I even tried to stop this dude over here for doing it." I mean, it doesn't say that in Scripture. It doesn't say that. But, I mean, you can see that play out, right? I mean, you can see, even after Jesus talks about the child and receiving the child, and it's like, "Hey, yeah, but What about? How many times have we complained about others or what's happening? How many times have we looked at our circumstance instead of to God? How many times have we thought that we had it terrible? In church today, it probably, and for the grace of God, we haven't in this congregation had this. So this is good. But as a word of warning, if we let our pride get into our lives and we let it seep into the fact that where it's leading our way, then eventually it's going to sneak into the church and we're going to have complaints and we're going to have disunity. And that's not where we're, what's happening here. That's not where we want to be. When we do church because of us, if we think that what's happening here is about you or me, then we've missed the mark. We can be right in the middle of God's work and miss the mark. Just because God's work is happening around us, don't ever let that be, don't let it seep in and tell you, okay, I've got this. God's working here, so I must be doing what's, I must be okay. Jesus uses a child as his physical example. I mean, he grabs a child, puts his arm around him, has a child and says, look, if you receive this child, then you receive me. And if you receive me, you've received the one who sent me. See, Jesus had everything that he could ever have wanted. He was in heaven being praised and glorified on a 24/7, 365 continual basis. He was at the right hand of the Father, the Trinity all in one. And what did he do? He decided that he needed to come as a child. He humbled himself and came as a child. And he uses a child as a thing. He's like, look, if you accept this child, you've accepted me. I came as a child. I came. I humbled myself. I had everything that I ever wanted. And I came in the form of a human and put all of that aside so that I could be here with you. And you're still not getting it. From the very beginning, God's plan was for Jesus Christ to come to this earth and be our Savior. And the disciples didn't get it, and I don't want us to miss it today. Jesus humbled himself as a child. If you accept him, you've accepted the Father. See, this whole conversation really isn't about our pride. This whole conversation here really isn't about the disciples. It's not about, you know, how to manage an argument. You know, we can learn leadership skills from this on how to, you know, handle group arguments or whatever. That's not what this is about. It's about Jesus. Jesus says, look, I know what you're thinking. I know I can read your mind, and that's what it, I mean, but Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, he's like, I know what's going on. But look where we've been. Look at what's happened. Get your focus back to where it needs to be. All this work of God was going on around them, but their focus wasn't there. People of God, people of North Hills, please never lose focus on Jesus Christ. We talked about ill will, personal preferences, elitism, and the powerless life. When our focus is on Him, we have unity, we have humbleness, we have care for even the least of these, and we are filled with His power. We need to realize that our ways are not His ways. May we always look to Him for our direction. Even when we think we've got it going on. And the last thing, there is power in the name of Jesus. That last little verse that we read, 49 and 50. Master, we saw somebody casting out demons in Your name. And he's not even with us. We tried to prevent him. Jesus said, do not hinder him, for he who is not against us is for us. God. May somebody that's not with us shout the name of Jesus this morning and have people come to know Jesus. There are other places in this world today that are lifting the name of Jesus high. We are not the only ones on this planet. Because Jesus' name has power. Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is the least among you, this one is the greatest. That whole sentence, if you look at the wording in the New Testament, everything points back to one noun. Like all of it is describing one noun. And we don't get this in the English, so this is why I'm telling you this. All of this points back to one noun. It points back to the word me. And who is the me? Jesus. Everything there, if you receive this child, you receive me, the one who sent me. Everything is about Jesus. God, this morning, this man has been inept in portraying Your word. God, I pray that Your spirit be so thick that Jesus is lifted high. And may You continually tap us on the shoulder and tell us to get it through our thick ears. May You continually take our face and point it towards You. Do not let us, as a people, as a family, as an individual, do not let us let our pride get in the way. God, I pray for this congregation, the people that are sitting here this morning, that Jesus is their focus. And for those areas in our life where you are not, pray that you bring those to our heart. And may you just turn our eyes to you, God. We realize that your grace covers all. This morning, I ask that you just take these words that we're about to sing, and may it be just praise to your ears, Father. The gifts of offering that are coming forward, may they just be gifts of gratitude back for what you've done for us. May we not give out of our pride this morning, but may we give because of Jesus. God, we love you. And we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, in the form of a child to grow up and be our Savior. And it's in His name we pray this morning. Amen.